If we start a meeting, it can go ahead and get that.
Right, so let's pull it together, but it hasn't.
Come here. You can sit with me or you can sit with me.
I'm just having problems.
No, she's got to sit there, baby. Don't touch anything.
Oh, so
you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going.
Good morning. I just noticed something that I wonder what it said earlier to call us. Are you ready?
No, sir.
No, you better get ready.
Busy talking, busy.
Just had coon blank ears.
Oh, I'm coon blank. Honor that and hold on to that.
It's a memorable Sunday because Todd was here two Sundays more than that. You asked for it.
Okay.
You'd have been disappointed if I hadn't said something, right?
Happy?
Yes. Okay. Todd's back in bed earlier. At least David will be with us. Back with her back issues. Yes. All right. And Debbie's with us today, and she's going to try to decide where she's going to land. And we'll see if she actually lands or not. She has to keep moving.
Debbie.
And who is that? Sean, how come your face is a little flushed?
I'm so excited.
Yes.
I saw everyone.
We certainly were, and thankful for your return. Alrighty. And Wayne and Shaney are with us today as well. Which means all the preaching. They never come when I preach.
That's not true.
It's not. I take it back.
Okay.
Yes.
And
that was it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Alright. Anyone else want to put down? It's a church for it, right? Okay, so I guess who has the color bulletin inserts, please? Cheryl, yay, congratulations. by the way, Cheryl is beginning a new position as executive director of the Panhandle Pink.
No, it's Bonner Partner and Care Clinic.
Bonner Partner and Care Clinic. Well done, Cheryl, we're proud of you.
Yeah.
Got you no prayers for that. And who else? Some of us have a colored bulletin insert. Should be someone. They all got passed out. Come on, somebody's holding out. Okay, maybe it's Michelle. She's doing something or Anita or whatever. Oh, Kathy, there's several possibilities. We'd be able to do this being special. Let's see what we got for...
Oh, never mind. Okay, sorry.
Okay. So,
wait a minute. I have to do double duty here.
She's doing double duty. So, here we are. Let's do it. Let me get my study again. So, the mic just kind of cut out or something. It's just playing around with me. Okay. So, join us for that. We're going to be resuming in John chapter 2, verse 12 and following. Hoorah! Right on. And Thursday night, church council meeting. Lord willing, and everybody shows up. Okay? Planning on that. And then next Sunday, we'll be sharing Lying Love. It's Valentine's Day next Sunday. Lying Love. Okay. And on the 21st, 2 weeks from today, it will be our monthly food and fellowship fair. February birthdays and anniversaries. We'll remind you of that next Sunday. And on the 28th, our annual church renewal service is what we like to call it, including our annual business meeting. So we look forward to that. And
this next week, we had to explain.
Say something. So we have prepared a video to promote the...
Well, we have the video.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Introducing that. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
So, anyway.
It's a go.
Maybe I should just be quiet and let the video play. We have, since it's February, this month is fundraiser for the Good Samaritan Inn that we have talked about and most all of you are familiar with. And there are pouches back on the back table. Some of you already taken, and there are others there for the rest of you to put, like we usually do with the baby bottle boomerang with the Life's Image, Life's Choice Pregnancy Center. And so we have a video that Kathy and I had prepared. And after seeing it, after it was done, we decided it's best to eliminate my part of it.
He decided it was best.
And it was not good. Anyway, and just to share her part of it, I just basically kind of introduced the concept anyway, and then she basically says what needs to be heard. So
many of you know that we have done a lot of things here, tried things here to help the homeless, and it just bottom line, we got to build a transitional living center. We are hoping for land in Ponderay. We got to have land to get an architect estimate so we can write grants. So we're really trying hard to raise money for that land. So here's the way we're trying.
We are inviting all of you to participate in our February fundraiser called the Samaritan's Pouch. You know, February is the month of love, and Jesus taught the Good Samaritan parable to demonstrate who our neighbor is and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Pouches similar to these will be available in your church in the month of February. Pick them up and fill it with coins, bills, even checks. If you're writing checks, make them up to Helping Hands, Healing Hearts. And what will be in your pouch? You know, the land we want is $370,000. That's a big goal. But as God's vessels of hope and deliverance for this community, it's a goal that we should fulfill. Do you know that in Isaiah 58:6-7, God says, "Is not the kind of fasting I have chosen is to provide the poor wanderer with shelter?" Well, the Good Samaritan Inn would be that kind of fasting. You know, we are all so blessed. So don't miss this opportunity to be a blessing to the poor wanderer, the homeless in our community. So pick up a pouch, fill it throughout the month of February, and in doing so, you will be a Good Samaritan, and God bless you as you do.
And that guy was there with a smile at the end. Should have seen the first part of it was bad.
That's the quietest I've ever seen you.
Huh?
That's the quietest I've ever seen you.
That too. Alright, so anyway, we encourage you to grab one of those pouches and fill it and help make that dream come true. And the Lord bless you as you do. We'll be saying more about that. There is also an insert in your bulletin that speaks of that. And also when you get a pouch, there's a little bit more in there as well. So, anything else? Nope. Part of your bulletin has a question that Hollis is going to ask us today. Do I have the right attitude in Christ? From Philippians chapter 2, Paul writing says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." I hope that we came with that attitude. If not, hopefully we'll leave with that attitude and we open our hearts to what God has for us as we share together today. Let's pray. Father, as always, we thank you for the freedom to come into your house today. We never want to take it for granted. We're mindful of the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and one of which is to be able to come together and to unite in our worship of you, to give you our thanksgiving, to offer ourselves back to you. And Lord, we do want to have your attitude. We want to have the mind of Christ. so that we can share your love freely with others. Pray your special blessing for all of us today as he shares with us, and in each heart and mind, that we might not only offer to you our best, but also receive from you what you have, which is the best. We give you praise for it in your son's name. Amen. Shut that off, bro. Okay, well, anyway, that's all I gotta say. Quit laughing at me, Don. How rude. How hurtful.
Make it hard.
What's that?
Make it hard.
Make it hard not to. Gotcha. All right, well, we appreciate Brother Hollis, and we know he's going to share what God has laid on his heart, and so we look forward to that, to receive that, and hopefully we have the right attitude in Christ. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Get a little pack of water.
Is there a feedback? Sure, though, I don't know what to do.
I was talking to Brother John on the phone last night, still working on the sermon this morning, and I started going down the rabbit hole. You know, so I felt like I'd been there 10 minutes, and 2 hours later, I was still, you know, at the time. But today we're going to be looking at the Beatitudes, and we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be touching on, I just can't touch on everything today that I want to touch on, because it's a much different stuff easily in this book of Matthew. If the book of Matthew is anything, it's a book that is setting up and making clear that the kingdom of God is with us. 32 times, nowhere else in the New Testament, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is mentioned in the book of Matthew. And it's making it clear that Jesus Christ is the kingdom of God. So we're going to look at the law today. If the Old Testament had the Ten Commandments, the New Testament has the Beatitudes. Jesus is kind of commandments. But it's approaching Christianity and a relationship with God in a different way. No longer is he suggesting us to approach God with our intellect, but to approach God with our heart. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I believe we're going to look at the Beatitudes for us.
Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. The disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thank you, Brother Osborne. Let's look at the law a little bit first. In the world, sometimes people who don't understand Christianity and Christ, they think, well, if God is so good, why did the law fail man? Well, the law didn't fail man. Man fell the law. It's what happened in the Old Testament. If my friend, Wayne, I need to pay my light bill, it's $100. He gives me $100 out of his unconditional love. and I take the $100 and I go down to the bar and rank it up, and the light bill don't get paid. Well, the next day, when y'all be saying, did you hear what happened to Hollis? Well, he got him a bad $100. That bad $100 took him to the bar and got him drunk. No, you wouldn't do that. The problem was not the $100. It was my attitude. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at here. See, Jesus is suggesting this amazing thing happens in the Beatitudes here. It's kind of obvious that Jesus make it clear that it came clear to God Almighty that me and you cannot deal with one another in the holy ground. Me and you cannot deal with one another in the holy ground. Of our own free will and our own thinking. Can't do it. Somehow or another, the best way out plan through our evil heart ends up being evil. The best way out plan that God can lay out for us to do it with one another ends up being evil. And it's me and you, not will against your will, trying to get to a healthy spiritual solution. That's why Jesus was necessary. Because he sent the presence of God through Jesus back with man. Because what happened back with Adam and Eve? The presence of God left man in the present. And it came obvious to the Father that these guys are not going to make it without me. If I'm not in the room with them, they're not going to make it without me. They're going to kill one another. As much as I love them, they're going to kill one another. So he sent our Lord and Savior back to us to be the conduit to bring the Lord back among us. So in the Beatitude, Jesus is not really talking about changing the mind. He's talking about changing the heart. Mm. We're going to approach this in a different way now. We're not going to let you use your great human intellect anymore. Mm-hmm. Because it's getting me in trouble. And what we're going to do is, I take this class here. The first thing I got to do, poor in spirit, will be the kingdom. Don't follow me. The thing is if this class is full of water, I can't put nothing new in it until I pour it out. Mm. So I believe what Jesus is talking about there, that when an individual gets to a point that they no longer trying mind in their own spirit, in their own self-will, in their own self-righteousness, and they accept that they need help and hear, and they become poor in spirit. So you know what I'm doing? I'm not working, and I'm a wreck, and I want to pull this garbage out of my soul, and I want to put something new in it, and I'm going to put Jesus in there. I'm going to put something that's going to work in there. So I move me out of the equation of dealing with mankind in a holy way and the way I think, and I put Jesus in my heart and I start dealing with you in a holy way.
Amen.
Because I no longer see you through my eyes, I see you through the Lord Savior's eyes. Mm-hmm. And he sees you in a way that I can't see you. Mm-hmm. He understands you in a way that I can't understand you. He sees you as equal as a child of his as I am. Mm-hmm. So we're getting somewhere now, maybe. So it's the change of the heart through Christ will change the mind that brings the actions of humans in humanity. Mm-hmm. And there's only one solution to this evil heart. Mm-hmm. And his name is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He must be my Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. You should be excited that God sent his son back to die to give us an opportunity to have a change of heart. that we can have God's presence living inside of us again through His Son. We should be excited about that. Because man was not doing too well with the law up to that point. Wayne and some of those that I love riding motorcycles. I've rode motorcycles since I was 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
One of my biggest problems with riding motorcycles, I only knew one speed light of them.
And that's how much speed there is?
Yeah. And then after I got older, and Matthew, at 5, we were looking at the fulfillment of the law, in 1720, there, what we're looking at is as I got older, I stopped speeding so much because I got tired of getting tickets. Alright? So I started fulfilling the law. Don't speed on the motorcycle, right? But I was fulfilling the law not because I was concerned about you. I was fulfilling the law without any tickets. Alright? As I got older now, and I have more of a heart of Christ, I don't speed on my motorcycles as much. The desire is still there. And it's more about, I come around the next curve, and I hit someone's child. How have I damaged this person's soul? The mother, the father. I get killed and I leave a mess for my wife to clean up. So, we're talking about a change of heart. I'm no longer looking at what I get or don't get, but I look at what I do or don't do to humanity. That Christ-like vision. That I'm looking at you like Christ is worth. I have concern for you like Christ has. Instead of me. I want to look at eye for eye. Matthew 5:38-42. That was a simple law that man got all messed up. The Jews of the time. Not long was the sign that if you and brother John was neighbors, and he was gracious enough to loan me an ox, to ply my field, and I stepped into a hole where he broke his leg and he had to be put down. When brother John would not have to go before the lawmakers and decide what has to be due, that I would replace his ox with the same quality of ox and give him some compensation for whatever time was lost until we found the ox that he needed. And we would go on to love one another the way that we love one another and be sad that I had injured his ox, but our relationship wouldn't change. And then man, with his sinful heart, said, you know what? Just eye for eye thing. This sounds pretty good here. Maybe I can use this to afflict some restitution on someone, some punishment, some vengeance that I felt ain't done me right. Have not did what I wanted them to do. So I can technically be following the law, but also putting the screws to you. That's not of God. Right? Get him to change your heart. I'm going to use a personal, and some of y'all have heard this, but it's this eye for the eye. How that thinking will walk us into our sin. That thinking of I'm going to put the screws to you. And I'm going to share with you how it could have happened to me in my own life. Not having some third party, but personal party. I'm down, and I'm going to share how you're changing your heart. inquires, not of me, can happen. As I'm down there, I meet the guy, and I'm talking to him, that I know that has the blood of my son on his hand. Now, if I want to exercise this principle here, what does he owe me? If I'm doing it the way the Jews owe me, he's got two sons, he owes me a son. If I'm doing it for vengeance and getting even, and my hunger and my pain to be fulfilled, so what God will, he owes me his youngest son. So I kill his son and get his son blood on my hand. What has just happened? I have locked me and him in to that pain and suffering and hatred forever. And I don't have another son to give you. So by following the law in a heart of vengeance and a heart of self-righteousness, I have locked me and this individual into a relationship of hate that just spirals out of control. It just spirals out of control. And we just live in the insanity of hate and vengeance towards one another. And he started becoming petty, and I start killing his chickens, and he start killing my chicken, and he sets my car on fire, and I set his car on fire, and it's just total insanity. And we're living through the pain of me losing my son, him losing his son, and we hate one another constantly. We're killing one another with the law. Then Jesus comes along and says, I got to put a stop to that. Let's change your heart. I saw that man. When I first locked my arm on him, a sense of rage rose up in me. My human nature. All the turmoil that had been going up here. All the battles that were going on between here and there. Immediately come to the fore in my human nature. But it was the time I got to him and I saw his little boys playing. And I started having feelings in my heart that I'm not capable of. I started feeling compassion for these children. I could see the agony on the father's face. And I wanted to release the man that I had vengeance towards. I wanted to release him of that pain that he carries of the blood of my son on his hand. I wanted to set him free of that crime. Jesus' heart, not my heart. So I become a creature. There is something different in this world through Jesus Christ. I become a creature that I am incapable of being in this world without Jesus Christ. You may say, can that really happen? Can people really just carry vengeance and hate? No. Well, you've heard of the Hatfields and the Coys. Have you not? pull three or four generations down, you can ask them, why do you hate the Hatfields for? I don't know how it started. I just know they're no good, and we hate them, and we gotta do something about them. And see that anger I'm talking about, to taking that man's son's blood on my hands, don't stop there. And what does them kids do? They grow up in that anger. They grow up in that bitterness. They grow up in that hatred. And I don't know nothing else about human nature. I know one thing, whatever you feed it spiritually, that's what it'll become. And unless someone throws up and gets poor in spirit and say, I'm going to empty the cup out, and I want this vicious cycle to stop. I want this legacy of hatred and self-will to stop. Who knows how long it'll go on? Who knows how many will have to die without knowing Jesus Christ before someone says enough is enough? So my question is today, do you have the right attitude towards Christ? Are you trying to figure Christ out with your mind in Christianity? Or are you trying to figure Christ out with your heart? If you're trying to figure him out with this, you're on a very, very long haul. And you just simply ever, never, ever may get there. But if you pull in that self-will and that self-attainment of self and that self, I am going to be self-efficient out of your heart and your body in Christ in, change my heart. Let me see love like you see it, Jesus. Let me see my fellow man like you see them. Allow me to have patience and understanding and passion and grace for my fellow man like you do. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to get somewhere. So the attitude that I should have is Christ should live in my heart. Then my soul will change and my thinking will get right. That's all I got, Brother John. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Hollis. Hollis shared with me the passage of Scripture he was going to be preaching from, and I didn't know where he was going to go with it. And so it was a little bit dicey choosing the closing hymn, closing psalm. The Lord said, this one, change my heart, O God.
Aww.
Is that perfect?
Yeah.
That's what God wants us to respond with this morning. Change my heart, O God. As long as the altar is open, if you desire to pray here.
May I be like you.
changed. Thank you that you have made that possible through your son, Jesus. Thank you that we can become like him as our hearts are changed and his heart becomes our heart. So we offer our hearts to you in this moment. We open them wide and pray that you will clean out all that needs to be cleaned out. Cleanse us fully. Fill us anew with your spirit, with your heart. Thank you, Lord, you give us that privilege. May we respond to your love and to your heart in the same way. And then offer it to others with open hearts. Thank you for Brother Hollis. Pray that you will just continue to minister your word to our hearts and our minds. Our minds are transformed when our hearts are yours. So we thank you for that process that you can work miraculously in us. Help us, Lord, to be free in our sharing of your love with others, that we can be used by you to help change their hearts, and that we might lift you up and honor and glorify you in such a way that they'll be drawn to you as well. We lift up those to you who are heavy in heart today, my wife and her family included, and Sue and her family. Thank you, Lord, that we have the assurance of your love in these lives and surrounding those that are left behind and dealing with the trauma and the brokenness. We pray, Lord, that your spirit of comfort will be very real for each one involved, and that you'll heal the hearts and encourage and challenge us to be more like you so that we can have that assurance that we will rejoin our loved ones when our time comes. Thank you that your grace is greater than our sin and as well greater than our weaknesses, and you can give us renewed health and strength to be who you'd have us to be fully healthy to help others as well. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading in those opportunities that you bring to us. We thank you for answered prayer on behalf of little Colton and how well he is doing. We give you full credit for that, and thank you that we can rejoice with Mike and Rick and the rest of the family and this little guy as he continues to grow. Thank you for the good report from Dawn. We pray your continued strength and healing for her. As well, for Beth Ann, for Dee, who is not able to be with us today, but we continue to lift her up to you also. And for Mike and Frida, thank you, Lord, that he's doing some better. Alma said he's grumpy, so that's a good sign. So we just thank you and pray your continued work in each one of these lives and others as well. To express our praise and petition to you from your people.